Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Hi, everybody. This is the Political University Radio Show. I am Jason Eastate, your host, and after a little win-week break, we're back in action again in a new, earlier, sleepy, bleary-eyed time of 11 a.m. On today's show, we're going to be talking a little bit about Larry Craig, of course, the uber-hetero Larry Craig, the macho man. The federal court ruling that national security letters are a big no-no. The ultimate Huckabee Award. A little bit on Dennis Kucinich, Alberto Gonzalez, and whatever else happened to wander into. Right now, I want to get down to it and bring in, I believe we're going to bring in, George first. Hi, George.
Hello, Jason.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Did you caffeinate properly?
What's that?
Did you caffeinate properly for an earlier time slot?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What was that?
Did you caffeinate properly for an earlier time slot?
Oh, I did. I did.
Good.
Yeah.
Is it kicking yet?
Yeah. I'm basically like, all good to go now.
Oh, good. You don't sound as chipper in the morning, George. You're not a morning person, are you?
What's that? Oh, I've never been much of a morning person. Yeah, but
neither am I.
Don't worry.
I'm facing this right now.
A couple of minutes, it'll sink in, and I'll be good to go.
I'm completely facing this right now. I am the most unmorning person in the history of the planet. I don't speak in the morning until after I've had my shower and eaten.
Yep.
I barely even look at the cat. I don't have any time for roommates, other human beings, furniture, anything.
I don't look at the cat either, but that's because I don't have one.
Oh, you have a dog, though.
Yes, I do.
You can look at the dog.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, we better bring in Will before he falls back to sleep. Will definitely is the morning person. For Will, morning is like 12:30 p.m. Hi, Will.
Hello.
Will, you're faking it. We all know you're not happy. You can just stop it right now. We know you're not the morning person. Just let it go.
Okay.
By the way,
good morning. Good morning.
Shut up, Will. You do any more Broadway tunes, you're off the show. More coffee commercials. Now, Will, congratulations. You quit smoking?
Yes, I did.
This
Tuesday is going to be 1 month.
All right, way to go.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Will, amazingly now, could walk up steps without wheezing.
Yep. I feel a lot better, and I breathe a lot better.
He doesn't get dizzy when he stands up.
Yeah, exactly.
And, the downside is he won't be able to walk into the mine cavern and rescue lost miners anymore because of the car coating on his lungs. but, okay, guys, let's do a little politics.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about that macho man, Larry Craig? George.
This was such a weird situation just because of, the signals that got him going, started this whole thing, could be looked at as so vague if you don't know exactly like what's going on. I mean, like, there are so many different jokes right now about, next time you go to take a piss, don't tap your feet when doing the pee-pee dance, and it just feels like, at first glance, it would seem like it would be something so vague. Why would this become an issue?
What about this whole pleading guilty?
The pleading guilty thing definitely, people have gone both ways on that. People have said, he's admitting his guilt of, his intentions and everything, but then there are other people that are saying he's pleading guilty because he doesn't want this to become an issue.
Yeah.
But if you're innocent, why would you plead guilty?
Right. That was.
And you're a U.S. senator. Like, he's no, like, if this was just a regular person, I could see doing this. I could see, because it happens all the time. People get pressured into pleas. They want to make things go away. He's a U.S. senator. He's supposed to be a little smarter than that.
And just because, and since he was arrested before he even pled, that's automatically part of
the case. And the whole thing is, he sat there. He had 3 weeks between his arrest and plea.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole, I didn't have legal help, I made a mistake, he thought about this for weeks, and then he pled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly, see, the thing that freaks me out is, I don't care if he's gay. I don't care if he likes men. I don't care what he does. Okay, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that got me was when he held that press conference, proclaiming himself not to be gay, and he did not do anything wrong. You know, as he said, quote, it was his pleading guilty was a mistake, and I deeply regret that. Because of that, I've now obtained counsel, and I'm asking my counsel to review this matter. And then he blamed the Idaho State newspaper for trying to go after him and frame him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, if you've seen today's paper, you know why. Let me be clear. I am not gay and never have been. Now, there have been rumors flying around about Larry Craig, honest to God, for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Craig likes men. He's just, you know, kind of in the closet. And like I said, it's no big deal, but whenever you're so anti-gay in your political stance, you campaign on anti-everything, anti-gay marriage, anti-civil rights, anti-hate crime,
mm-hmm.
you can't be sleeping with men. At least in the Republican Party. If he was a Democrat, we'd all hold the coming out party and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will, wake up.
I'm awake.
Larry Craig.
Larry Craig.
I'm awake, Larry Craig, dude.
Well.
Larry Craig, Will.
Well, he shouldn't have said anything, and he probably should have, as George said, it's really weird how things, you know, panned out. And that's about it.
Well, my thinking is he's not queer. He's not here. Get used to it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. If he wasn't a Republican, would anybody really care? If this was a gay Democrat, would it be nearly as juicy?
If the Republicans would jump all over that and just say, you know, like, this is, you know, just more proof of the, you know,
it's the party of terrible human beings with no values.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. No morals, no values, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, now, does anybody want to talk about Alberto Gonzalez?
Speaking of, no values.
Yeah, no values. Oh, that woke you right up, George. It was like somebody gave you a shot of B12 right there. That's a Gonzalez. He just punched right up. Okay, George, I'm going to let you riff about your old buddy Al.
Oh,
what's
man.
On your mind with his resignation?
This, once again, like, this was just a... Once again, it was just like with Karl Rove. Like, this is just a situation where the Democrats, like, literally had them on the ropes. And instead of going for that knockout punch, they just let him quit. And it felt like, just like with Karl Rove, it felt like a missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely something that the Democrats really could have used as ammunition, considering everything that they've been doing against Gonzalez. And now all of a sudden they don't have that opportunity to do that because he just decided to leave on his own terms.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You just hit it right in the head. The Bush administration once again flipped off all their critics by letting someone who's under fire leave on their own terms.
Mm-hmm.
But did he really leave? My argument is, did he really leave on his own terms?
Oh yeah, he left. Nothing was going to happen to him. He could have rode this out. I mean, because remember, the Bush administration was running out the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next step on this whole Gonzalez thing would have been to go to federal court.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time that got resolved, there would have been no time left in the term. He was going to survive.
Well, just another guy doing a heck of a job, so...
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to read you guys something from Bush's statement whenever his old buddy Al Gonzalez left. Al Gonzalez is a man of integrity, decency, and principle. After months of unfair treatment that has created a harmful distraction with the Justice Department, Judge Gonzalez decided to resign his position, and I accept his decision. It is sad. His good name was dragged through the mud for political reasons. Now, two questions. Does he have a good name? Three questions. Does he have a good name? Would he drag through the mud? And was it for political reasons?
No.
No.
One more note. Come on, guys. You're almost there. Hallelujah. We're going to start holding like a Sunday morning revival if you guys don't wake up.
I would say no on all three counts.
Really? I mean, I thought Gonzalez did a great job at the Justice Department, you know, totally ruining the credibility of the independent branch of...
He completely ruined
the credibility of the Justice Department. The Justice Department has no credibility, which is why he had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans don't trust the Justice Department. When nobody trusts the Justice Department, it's time to change the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always thought Al Gonzalez was a Bush lackey. That's all he was.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
He's just another yes man for President Bush.
Yeah.
And I mean, he never. I don't think he ever did an independent decision as Attorney General. I really don't. And I, and it's so late now. The damage has already been done. The damage has been done. Everything he did wrong: torture, attorney firings. Oh, let's see, what else is there? Unlawful detention. Civil rights violations, wiretapping.
Yeah, sending someone to visit John Ashcroft in the hospital.
That was him. It wasn't someone, it was him. Ashcroft was laying in the hospital recovering from major surgery, and they needed approval for the warrantless wiretapping program, so Al Gonzalez went to visit him on his hospital bed to get his approval. And Ashcroft, being doped up post-surgery, knew this was wrong and said no. Now, if a doped-up John Ashcroft who's on pain meds can figure out wiretapping the American people without the consent of a court or a warrant is wrong,
then that
why did Congress approve this? Not once, but twice.
I'm literally just like, dumbfounded by everything that he was allowed to do.
Yeah.
While he was.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. What disappoints you more? The fact that this actually happened, the warrantless wiretapping kind of thing, or the fact the Democrats went along with it?
That's a good question. I think that these events happened right after 9/11, and the Democrats, those who didn't want to, who voted against or wanted to vote against it, didn't want to be seen as unpatriotic or un-American, or else.
What about the renewal last year?
Oh, the renewal last year.
When they renewed the Patriot Act, yeah. What about? I can go with the first part. Okay, that was a crazy time. Everybody was freaked out.
Yeah, everybody was freaked out about that. But
how do you renew it? How do you, as a Democrat, when you see all the things that are wrong with it, how do you sit there and renew it? How do you vote for that? I mean, and I'm gonna go to George. George, are you disappointed in the Democratic Party for going along with this the second time?
I am definitely disappointed with them for doing that. It just seems like this was something that the administration just, obviously wanted to see, happening because they were still under the delusion that it was working. And once again, the Democrats were just kind of in that defensive position of, if you don't go with this, why do you hate America? That was something that this administration has been pulling as their trump card all the time.
Yeah,
it's something that's really disgusting about how people just consistently fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the most disappointing element of all this, is that the Democratic Party, I mean, the first time, like Will said, I think it's totally understandable that everybody was panicked, and the Patriot Act itself was a gigantic bill and nobody read it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was just a wish list of every kind of security and intelligence nature for the Republicans and anybody else that's sitting around for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They threw it all together, and they got it. They saw an opportunity, they passed it. The problem is, when it rolled around again for renewal, and the Democrats went, looks good to me. We'll make a few changes on the edges, but we won't really change anything that's involved with it. Oh, and this could put into... the national security letters. You guys heard about the federal court ruling this week, I'm guessing, hopefully. If not, I'll cover it for you. The national security letters that have been used in the warrantless wiretapping program are illegal and unconstitutional. Are you too familiar with that?
Has been mentioning? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
It's
what's that?
Well, it's where they would send letters to ISPs.
Yeah, it's where they would send letters
to telecommunications
companies and
telecommunications
internet service providers.
And to
cool.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's where like Will said, they would send letters to ISPs and telecommunications companies and demanding customer records. And the companies at that time were under a gag order, and these national security letters could not be judicially reviewed. So once you were served with one, you couldn't talk about it, and you couldn't appeal it. And you had to turn over your customer's data. Essentially. That's the gist of it. And the federal court ruled this week in New York that that provision of the Patriot Act is unconstitutional and illegal. The judge, Victor Marrero, called it the legislative equivalent of breaking and entering with an ominous free pass to the hijacking of constitutional values. So, remember, the national security letters were a big part of the Patriot Act. This whole thing was designed to thwart the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from George Bush's FISA reform that he said badly once, it's all designed to give the president and the executive branch more power. And that's a pretty frightening thought.
Yeah.
The judge called this further on in this decision, in light of the seriousness of the potential intrusion into individuals' personal affairs and the significant possibility of a chilling effect on speech and association, particularly of expression that is critical of the government or its policies, a compelling need exists to ensure that the use of NSLs is subject to the safeguards of public accountability, checks and balances, and separation of powers that our Constitution prescribes. Basically, the president can't go out and wiretap people. Which I thought we already knew. weren't we already clear on that? Like, the president shouldn't be out wiretapping people? Didn't we get through this with Nixon? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I missed something in the last 30 years where all of a sudden it became cool to wiretap again.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the internet is a whole other invention that basically has caused a problem. Oh, look, we have a phone call here. We have two phone calls. Let's check them out. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're in the air.
I'm not sure if you said you had two phone calls. I wasn't sure if I was the one you took.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just noticed the second one just popped into the security. Hi, what's your name? You're on the air. What would you like to talk about?
My name is Reverend Damien Darko, actually. I'm a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. And I stumbled across your show this morning, and I have to say it's quite an excellent show.
Thank you.
I want to get back. Actually, I've been on hold since you were talking about Larry Craig, and I want to get back to that, if I may. The point that I think, you know, you had mentioned that you know, if this was a Democrat, we'd be having a big coming out party for him and everything if he was, you know, if this happened to him. I have to disagree. I mean, I'm a Democrat, I'm a proud liberal, and I have to say that you know, my main problem with Larry Craig is not so much that he's gay, and even not so much that he was propositioned intersex in a men's room stall, allegedly. It's that he's a complete bloody idiot about it. I mean, he's a lawmaker. He's a lawmaker. He should know the law. He should know you don't plead guilty about something to make it go away. It doesn't go away. And
yeah,
you know,
I think what you're saying here is his big mistake was actually pleading guilty and trying to push it under the rug.
Well, no, his big mistake is that plus his excuse
doing it in the first place.
To retain counsel. He's a lawmaker. He should know something like this happens,
yeah.
Especially if you're innocent. You retain counsel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're innocent, though, you wouldn't have pled guilty in the first place.
Well, yeah. But I mean, on top
he would have said, "I'm not guilty." He would have got himself a lawyer. He would have run through the system.
Right, and on top of that, you know, all right, I can understand him saying, "Well, it was a misunderstanding with you know, the hand signals and all of this stuff." And I was reaching down for a piece of paper that apparently didn't exist, but that's neither here nor there. My big thing of it is, he claims he has a wide stance when he's taking a dumper, and you know, his foot went under the other stall. He'd better be laying out a Cadillac in order to be pulling that one.
Yeah, he basically, you know, like I said, my thing is, if he's not guilty, he had weeks to think this over, his plea. And he still pled guilty. if you're not guilty, why?
Then what do you have to hide?
It for,
you know, like,
exactly.
The two or three weeks, why would you consider it for that long and then still plead guilty? You had ample time. He had ample time to make it to, and I think his whole indignity in his press conference was a real laughable part of it. He's blaming everyone else here except his own behavior.
Exactly.
He's the one who dug himself the hole. He needed to take the proper steps. If he was innocent or guilty, he should have handled this differently, innocent or guilty. It isn't the newspaper's fault. It isn't the policeman's fault. It isn't the media's fault. It's his own fault.
Right.
And you've got onto something here with me. You've got me kind of going. This happens all too often is with lawmakers, period. There's no accountability.
Absolutely.
You have to be personally accountable for your own actions.
Absolutely. And they keep saying, oh, the Republicans are the party of personal responsibility. I haven't seen that in quite some time.
Well, it's been gone for a few decades now.
Well, yeah.
To say the least. It's been gone for maybe 30 years.
Well, they seem to demand accountability when they're not the ones in power.
Well, yeah.
They demand accountability when they're not in power.
Exactly. You know, like, well, just look at how much time that they spent on getting Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
All that time and everything. They're basically saying that they wanted Clinton to own up to his personal responsibilities and everything, when at the same time, you know, as soon as Bush came into office, all of that just kind of went by the wayside because now all of a sudden they got what they wanted.
Right. It's,
yeah, and see, you can't, because many of these same congressional people, like Larry Craig, like, but there's so many Republican representatives and senators who were so against the Clinton impeachment, and that's a whole different story, and I find Clinton's behavior reprehensible personally, but you can't come out that strongly against Clinton and call him a moral sleazeball or a moral heathen and then be doing things yourself in your own private life. Those kind of things are hypocrisy, and they're completely unacceptable if you're gonna preach a holier than thou attitude.
Absolutely.
If you're gonna take the moral high ground, you have to live that way.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And if you don't, then you shouldn't be surprised when the ramifications, when the check comes due, when everything hits the fan, you should not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
It's almost deserved behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. We got another call we have to get to yet, and we have about 7 minutes left in the program, so thank you very much. Oh, when can we listen to your show?
The show is it's called The Dark Side. It's on every Friday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and it's part of an organization called the Free World Radio Network at freeworldradionetwork.net. And actually, this morning, having stumbled across here, I actually linked to your show on our website, if that's all right with you.
Oh, great.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, great.
Not a problem at all.
Thank you very much.
Excellent show.
Please, if you ever want to come back on and maybe spend some time with us as a guest, you can come back on and talk whenever you wish.
Well, fantastic.
Give us
a call.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take our other call here. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Hans Meyer calling from Tallahassee, Florida. I'm, like Reverend Darko, I'm also a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. And part of the Free World Radio.
We're going to let you tell us when we can look at your show, too, here. So tell what do you think? What's on your mind?
Well, two points that I wanted to bring up. One, the comment about President Bush complaining about Gonzalez's, quote, good name, end quote, being dragged through the mud. And he was supposedly disgusted with that. Well, President Bush, two words, Max Cleland. I don't seem to remember anybody on the administration coming out and saying, you know, how reprehensible it was to drag his good name through the mud for political purposes.
Oh, that's exactly right.
I'll throw you one better,
that's
too.
That's a great example.
I'll throw you one better, that's too. John McCain in 2000.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. John McCain in South Carolina.
The push-pull telephone calls. It was reprehensible.
Yeah. That basically destroyed the man that we were all ready to kind of get behind.
Yeah.
That sure as hell is not the same man right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on the show a bunch of times. Like, John McCain could survive 4 years in a Viet Cong prison camp, but he couldn't survive one Karl Rove assault in the 2000 primary because he looked like a broken man in 2008.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's basically what the extent of that kind of dirty, personal, negative campaigning. And that's what this administration does. I mean, you can go back. There's actually a list of instances in this during the last 6+ years where you could see the administration has targeted somebody who disagreed with them or was a challenge to them. And then when this happens with Alberto Gonzalez, they're indignant. I would argue that Gonzalez kind of brought it on himself, too.
Well, of course he did. With
his terrible performance in congressional testimony. Twice. He was absolutely ridiculously terrible. All he had to do at that time, this all could have went away if he just would have went before the committees and said, okay, here's what happened, here's why. It wasn't the firings that got them in trouble. It was the covering up. Because, you know, it's debatable whether the firings really are illegal. The issue here was basically that Gonzalez lied about it. I mean, and so it's actually one of the deals where the cover-up might have been worse than the crime. I happen to think the firings were illegal, but it's debatable. You know what I mean?
Is it almost always is. The cover-up is worse than crime. Ask the administration of Richard Nixon.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up right there.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just asked the administration of Richard Nixon about the cover-up worse than the crime.
Yeah. I mean, this administration has had a track record of infringing on civil liberties and basically not caring and ignoring the Constitution, although they're good stuff. Which actually
was just going to lead to my other point. When you talk about bringing more power to the executive branch, I think that falls into the category of the hubris of the whole permanent Republican majority. I mean, why not? Why not enhance the power of the presidency if the GOP was going to have it from now until the rapture? You might as well enhance the power. And I think that all stems from the hubris that they were going to be in power forever.
Yeah, oh, that's a terrific point. I mean, and that's the problem. They do these things congressionally, the Republican majority, and now the Democratic majority is going along with some questionable things, without realizing that every time you expand the executive branch power, that becomes a precedent, and future presidents can also use it.
Yes,
How are they going to react when a Democratic president uses the same kind of tools?
No, and arguing with the brethren on the right, that's exactly what I would say. How are you going to feel when a Hillary Clinton attorney general is wielding those powers? And, of course, you know, oh, that'll never happen, because the hubris of the permanent Republican majority.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the Rovian view. The Rovian view was he had found the golden goose that he could cut taxes and increase spending at the same time, and the Republicans would maintain power forever.
Right, exactly.
That was the goal.
Gentlemen, a fantastic show. Enjoyed. I'll go ahead and take the rest of your comments off the air.
When can we catch your show?
My show is Situation Awareness. It's Saturday mornings at 10 a.m.
Okay.
It's also the Eastern Time, also part of the Free World Radio Network. And as Reverend Darko said, we've got a link to your program on our site, already up.
Okay, thanks.
Excellent.
Thank you for your call as well. We have to end the show here. We have about a minute and a half to go. We have one more phone call in. I don't think we can get to you today. I'm sorry, 813 area code. Please call back next week. We have a minute left. Thank you. Okay. Oh, okay. We got everybody. Okay. Here we go. Okay, guys. Last minute of the show. We actually got phone calls. Hi, boys.
Jason, you there?
Yeah, Ed, were you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I hung up. I actually hung up on Will, I think.
Oops.
That's kind of disconnecting my call. So, Will, I'm sorry if I hung up on you. Yeah, George, we actually have some calls for you today.
Wow.
So how about that?
Well, then.
See, you wake up in the morning, it pays off.
What's that?
Now. What's that?
I didn't hear that last part. What was that?
You wake up in the morning, and it pays off.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having some feedback issues on it. I'm not sure if this is going to come through to listeners, but we're having a bit of a hard time hearing. I don't know if George, you having a hard time hearing too?
I've been having like a little bit of a difficult time hearing you today. You know, like normally it's
We've had some little big feedback problems. So if it's easier to just join in, we're having some issues here with Blog Talk Radio. Okay, George, last thing before we got to go. What do you got to pimp?
This month, September, for Scene Anatomy 101, I will be continuing the my month-long tribute to various Star Trek films that I have not covered yet. And also, this particular Thursday, the UBS Evening Movie News will not only be celebrating its 30th column, but will also be unleashing its brand-new logo upon the masses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a T-shirt to go with that?
What's that?
Will there be a T-shirt? Will there be a T-shirt available at Cafe Press to go with that?
There will very possibly be a T-shirt to go with that one. I'm still working on the different items for Scene Anatomy 101.
By the way, I would like to talk to you about getting something together for a radio show.
Oh, excellent! Yes, definitely.
Start something up on the Cafe Press site. Okay, we're out of time. Sorry, Will. I meant to disconnect the other caller. I disconnected you. Yeah, I'll probably be getting a phone call at about 11:32, telling you what the hell you're doing. So, George, do you want to do a show on Tuesday for 9/11?
What's that? Oh, yeah, I would love to do
one. Do you want to do a show on Tuesday for 9/11?
I would definitely love to do one.
Okay, so would I. I think we're going to be back on Tuesday evening for a 9/11 special show. For Will, who I cut off because I'm not on the East Coast, for George and myself, Jason Aisley, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.